you know, we talk a lot about growth in Connecticut and jobs, Fields. You know, we talk with Matthew Wallace from VR Sim about, you know, we talk about the trades all the time, and you don't always have to go to a four-year college to work, and there's thousands of unfilled jobs here in Connecticut. You know, how can the state grow? And I think someone who's obviously very, very focused on this, Chris DiPentima from CBIA, of course, Connecticut Business Industry Association, and just spent a lot of time putting together, I don't know, Chris, would you call it like a, is it a research report? Like, what is the document?
Yeah, Brian, thanks for having me back on. It's really a roadmap, and I use the term road specifically because, you know, a road is a journey that has a lot of twists and turns, and it's not a one-and-done document. It's research that the foundation that we created about a year ago, the CBIA Foundation for Economic Growth and Opportunity, employed a consulting firm who's done similar, some people call them economic action plans. They call it an economic roadmap for competitiveness, and about 30 other states, and that's really what this document is that we released. It's a roadmap for economic competitiveness in Connecticut, not just for this upcoming legislative session, for multiple-year roadmap that will constantly be updated and adjusted and measured as we make progress.
You know, I want to get into the weeds on the jobs and some other stuff, but I'm on a sort of a big-picture question, and honestly, you know, we're in the Northeast. We're in New England. It's very mature economy, very mature, you know, housing landscape. I mean, is it possible to for Connecticut to move beyond a slow growth environment?
Yeah, probably the number one question I got asked when kind of taking on this journey and creating the foundation and this plan, that combined with, you know, how is this different than the 30-plus other studies that have been done and over the last 6 years around Connecticut's economy, which we analyzed those prior 30 studies. Yeah, it is possible, Brian. The short answer is it is possible. We really did a lot of best practices against other northeastern states and blue states, and that was very intentional because we know we have a kind of a certain demographics, if you were here in Connecticut, and that intentional comparison to some other similar states. We found that there is ways to accelerate growth at a faster pace than we have. There is a way to accelerate population growth at a faster rate than we've had. It's probably taking best practices from different states. Not one state does it incredibly well in the Northeast. And there's not one blue state that's just perfect out there where you replicate. But we have my counterpart from Minnesota come in when we launched this plan at our economic conference 2 weeks ago. And, you know, Minnesota is ranked number 6 in the CNBC rankings for best states to do business. They're the top-ranked blue state in the country, and they've seen some real good progress in Minnesota. So, you know, Democratic governor, as you know, who now is running for vice president.
Right.
Democrat-controlled legislator. Older population, permitting issues just like we have in Connecticut. But they did their plan about 7-8 years ago and are further down the road than us and have made progress. So I have high expectations.
I have so many questions, so I'm going to interrupt you. The blue state versus red state, is that because you need to make adjustments based on the fact that you expect more regulation?
I think it's to make sure that you speak to the audience, you know, and we are, you know, right now controlled by Democrats. And I think if we went out there and said, hey, we need to do things just like Texas and just like South Carolina, people would be like, well, you know, that means you need to change the players on the chessboard, and that's not the case at all. I mean, this is who we have in power, and we can make more progress than we have, and so that's why we really wanted to compare to blue states. And also the demographics, like you mentioned, older population, heavy manufacturing industry, and so that was important to us.
Chris DiPentima from CBIA joining us. We need more time on this. I can't even get half my questions in. But these 93,000 jobs that are open, my understanding, this is why the immigration debate is so interesting, because, you know, like increased legal immigration would make a lot of sense in places like Connecticut, because my understanding is a lot of these jobs Connecticut residents don't want.
There are some entry-level jobs that our folks don't want, and I think that's why you see this disconnect between the education level of our population, which we really talk a lot about in this report, and the number of job openings, especially the entry level. More than half the job openings of the 93,000 that you mentioned don't require a bachelor's degree. In fact, most of them only require a high school graduation or GED equivalent. And so to your point, immigration is important. Having career pathways in our high schools is very important. Just because you graduate high school and you choose not to go to college right away, you can get into one of these jobs but then go on to college later on. And especially nowadays when a lot of businesses are paying for people to go to college or reimbursing student tuition. So immigration is a big piece of it. That's actually where we've seen our population growth over the last 4 years in Connecticut is primarily from international immigration. And so we need to continue that, but also encourage more domestic migration state to state, which is obviously making the state more affordable is one way to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we need to, if they are in fact pathways to a middle-class life, I think that's the angle that needs to be promoted, because it's hard to find careers that lead you to that in the Northeast, because you have to make a decent amount of money. We're talking with Chris Tipentima from CBIA about when they came out with this huge document about sort of looking forward in the economic future of Connecticut. We only have about 2 minutes here, but to me, housing is another issue in a region like this because it's just challenging. And so I'm curious about what you did in this work surrounding housing.
Yeah, that's a great one. A lot of people, you know, we held 30 forums across Connecticut to get a broad stakeholder feedback. This isn't just the business community's feedback. We had housing advocates, childcare advocates, legislators, you know, executive branch at these forums. And our board of the foundation is not just the business community. There's the teachers, a union, higher ed's on this board, the Mohegan Sun, Yale New Haven, nonprofits, for-profits. Housing is a big one, Brian. You know, the big challenge we heard and our research saw in Connecticut is the 169 towns, right? There's not county government, and we're not advocating for county government or taking away local control. We know that's a hot-button issue. But the fact that you can do a housing complex very quickly in one town and just go over 5 miles and not do it the same way in a neighboring town was a big issue that was highlighted. And so one of the recommendations of the many that we have in here is really looking at best practices at a local level in Connecticut and then setting that bar out there and incentivizing our towns and cities to meet those best practices. The incentive would be additional state money. And we're meeting with the mayors and town leaders right now about this recommendation and other ones in this plan, how we can make things more uniform in Connecticut when it comes to housing without taking away local control. The other recommendation, we talked to the governor about this one, and I really think this will probably be one of his priorities this coming session, is the state pre-funding, if you will, Brian. So really giving the seed money for towns to do more transit-oriented housing, housing complexes around bus stations or railroads where we have them. And so the state is incentivizing that housing growth. But there's a lot more we need to do, and I agree with you. Housing is probably the number one barrier to economic growth in Connecticut.
Like, we need a good direct train from Hartford to Boston and New York, too. Listen, we're out of time, but it just in 20 seconds, is there something in there that we didn't talk about that you want people to know?
Yeah, but just go to our website. Like you said, it's a comprehensive 48-page document. There's a lot of data in there, a lot of charts. Go to CBIAFoundation.com. There's an economic action plan. You'll see the link there. Reach out to us if you got questions about anything. We're going to be socializing this for the next several months as we head into session. It's a really important piece of Connecticut's future. This isn't just about the coming session. This is about the next several years for Connecticut.
Good stuff. We always enjoy the time, Chris. Thank you so much.
Stay well.